I believe that the local New Testament church is the most powerful and influential institution in the world. I believe that it was created by the power of God. I believe that it is activated by the blood of Jesus. I believe that it is directed by the Word of God. For the month of November, we have been focused upon the New Testament church. In the first lesson, we talked about the church as a family and being the family of God. And in that lesson, we highlighted that many of the principles that govern the physical family can also be used to govern the spiritual family, the church. In the second lesson, we looked at our relationships with each other from the viewpoint of matters of opinion. That is, all of those areas where the Bible is silent. The Bible doesn't say this is wrong. Bible doesn't say this is right. And God lets us use our opinion to determine what we want to do. And that's where it can become very, very sticky in the church. And then last week, we looked at the fact that the church marches on. That for some 2,000 years, Satan and everything he can gather around him to try to destroy the church has failed. And since the second chapter of the book of Acts, there has never been a day that the church hasn't existed somewhere. The church marches on. Now today we're going to close out this focus on the church. And I want to simply this morning ask and then answer three questions about the church. We're asking and answering three questions about the church. Question number one is this, it's why? Why did Jesus establish the church? Why did he establish the church? Why? You need to understand from the outset here that the Lord had in mind some very specific purposes when he founded the church. Now, I'm going to give you three reasons, three of those purposes for which Jesus established the church. Number one is fellowship. Fellowship. Now, brethren, every local congregation of the New Testament church is intended to be a center of fellowship. Every local New Testament church is intended to be a place of mutual partnership among Christians. Now, biblical fellowship. Fellowship establishes the bond that holds together those of us who are Christians by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Fellowship establishes the bond of partnership. It establishes the bond of commitment. it establishes the bond of the commonality that we all have with each other based on our faith and based on our trust in Jesus Christ. That is biblical fellowship. It's the bond and the partnership we have with each other based on faith in Jesus. Now, here's what that means. That means that everybody who comes in here, this is the one place in all of the world and in all of our lives where we need to understand we are not alone. When I come in here, I am very aware that I am surrounded by brothers and sisters who have a like faith that I do. When I'm in here, I realize I am around people who get it. They understand the life that I'm trying to live. We understand the life that each other is trying to live. This is the one place in all of the world where we go, where we can know we are not alone. We have a bond together by our faith in Jesus Christ. And that bond and that commitment and partnership is what the Bible calls fellowship. Now, let me say this about biblical fellowship. What I'm talking about, you can't get this sitting at home listening to an audio of somebody preach a sermon. What I'm talking about now, biblical fellowship, you can't get this watching a video at home. Listen, fellowship is a hands-on thing. Fellowship is a together thing. Fellowship is an eye-to-eye thing where we look at the person, we look at each other, and we know what it is we're going through as we're trying to live. And I'm telling you, that partnership and that commonality, listen, you gotta be here to get it. Fellowship. It isn't just, hi, how are you? It's partnership. You say, nobody understands. Look, we all understand. Because we're trying to do it too. Fellowship. Why did Jesus establish the church? Fellowship. Why did Jesus establish the church? Number two, worship. Worship. Now, worship is one of those things that we understand some of it, but most of us don't understand the whole purpose of it. The church is made up of worshipers. That's part we know. I get that. God both deserves and desires that we worship him. That's the part we know. Yeah. Now, the word worship itself means to bow down. Worship is paying homage and reverence to our God because of who he is, what he is, and what he has done. We understand that part of it. Worship is an expression of our adoration to God for what he has done and for who he is. And we understand that part of it too. There is a word, worship, where the actual meaning of it means to kiss. To kiss. And in that word, the idea of worship is blowing a kiss to God. It's showing him our affection. It's showing him our love. Worship is having homage and reverence to God. And that's the part we know about it, but it's much deeper than this. Did you know that every part of our worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, that every part of our worship, we engage in it and it meets a vital need in our own spiritual life. In other words, we come to worship, and we worship in the way and the means that God said to do it. And when we do that, we are showing our homage to him. But at the same price and in the same respect, every act we engage in the worship is also helping ourselves spiritually. Now, let's not see if that's true. So, in worship, what's the purpose of teaching and preaching? What's the purpose of it? The purpose of preaching is to mature our faith. Look, open your Bible to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. We know the verse, listen, familiar scriptures need to be read more carefully. Romans 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing. How do I acquire faith? How do I develop faith? How do I nurture my faith? How do I mature faith? It comes from hearing. Now watch it, and the hearing through the word of Christ. Now, brethren, listen to me. The only thing on this planet that can produce faith in your heart is the word of God. That's where it comes from. The only thing in the world that can produce faith in our hearts is the word of God. So when we come together, the word is taught and the word is preached as God describes it. So as we worship in that way, what happens to us is our faith is matured. Well, all right, what's the purpose of singing? What's the purpose of singing? You say, well, when we sing, we are giving praise to God for who he is. Absolutely correct. But you know, there's more to our singing than that. Do you know that singing has a further purpose than that? Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Pause. The only way that the word can dwell in us is we have to get it in there. You say, well, that goes back to the preaching and teaching. Yes, sir, and yes, man, except Colossians 3:16, the context isn't preaching, it's singing. Watch it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. So, singing, we are praising God, but in singing, there is another purpose that involves our spiritual lives, and that purpose is twofold. Look what he says. Number one, he says it's teaching. When we sing our hymns, we are teaching. You say, but how so? Because the hymns are based on the word of God, and the word of God is where the faith is going to come from. But look what he says secondly. He says it's teaching and admonishing or exhorting. The word means warning. When we sing, we are teaching and we are warning each other. I'll give you one example in the hymn book. There's a great day coming, a great day coming by and by, when the saint and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? That third stanza says, when the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know you not. Are you ready for the day to come? Now listen to me. What is that hymn doing? That hymn is teaching us. It's teaching us that there is a day of judgment coming. And secondly, that hymn is admonishing, or it's warning us, judgment is coming. You better be ready for it. Well, what about our giving? When we give, you know, we're giving to God. Absolutely. But beyond that, a further purpose in our giving is it makes us partners with God in His work. I become a partner with God. But it does something else that every one of us need. And that is, our giving drives away from us our nature of selfishness. We all have a self. Listen, we're born with it. What kid ever learned to say yes before he learned to say no? They wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're hungry, but they lay there and think it over. Well, I don't know. I really give my a tough time today. So I think I'm just going to lay here, and I'm just going to be quiet, and I'm going to let them rest. No, it's about them. And listen, the problem is that if you're not careful, you get grown and still think it's all about you. You say, well, okay, then what about prayer? What about prayer? Here's the purpose. Prayer connects in worship. Prayer connects us to God. Don't you understand that it is through our prayers that we understand that God not only hears my prayer, but that God answers my prayers? I could stand here easily till dark and tell you about prayers that God has answered. James 5 and verse 16, the prayer of the righteous accomplishes much. Well, then what about the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper. What does that do for me? Listen, the Lord's Supper is the moment in the week where God says, I want every one of my children to stop and I want them to go back through their eyes, mind, at that moment when the ultimate sacrifice was made, when the blood was shed, and when salvation became possible. That is a sacrifice we can never, ever forget. Brethren, listen to me. Why did Jesus establish the church? He established it for fellowship, so that all of us who are living our lives, fighting the devil, fighting the world, trying to deal with all that's going on, we can come together and realize there is a commonality between us. We get strength here and we head back out there and say, devil, let's go at it again. Why did Jesus establish the church? He established it for worship. We pay homage and adoration to God, yes, but when we engage every aspect of worship we engage in, it does something vital for us spiritually. I'm spiritually stronger because I do this. Why did Jesus establish the church? Number three. He established the church for good works. Now, I want to show you something. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you something. Verse 10. Paul says, Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now let's stop right there. When were we created in Christ Jesus? At our conversion. When we surrendered ourselves to the Lord, and when we were baptized for the remission of our sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We were created in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to me, Ephesians 2:10. Why were we created in Christ Jesus? Look at verse 10 again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were created in Christ for good works. Now here's the problem. Far, far too many of us base our entire Christianity on what we don't do. Well, I'm a good Christian. Well, why do you think that? Because I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't go there and I don't talk like that and I don't go there and I don't do that. But there are two aspects to Christianity. There is the aspect of turning away from evil. Don't do that and don't do that. That's fine. But the other aspect is that we're turning from evil in order to do good works. James chapter 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. James chapter 4 and verse 17, if any man knows to do good and does it not, it is a sin. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, be ready unto every good work. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, be zealous to every good work. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings and puts them into practice is the wise man. Brethren, if we become Christians and if all we do is just don't do this and don't do that, then we're Christians and we're good for nothing. Amen? I'm a Christian. What are you doing? Nothing. We have to be good for something. Question number one. The other two questions aren't nearly this long. Question number one. Why did Jesus establish church? We need to know that. But we need to know what it means. Fellowship. Here's where I hook up with people who understand my lifestyle and they understand where I'm at and where I'm trying to go because they're trying to get there too. Why did he establish the church? Worship. We praise God, and as we do that, as he has directed, that spiritually uplifts us. Why did Jesus establish the church? Third, for good works. Question number two is what? What are some of the identifying marks of the New Testament church? Now, I need you to hear this one carefully. There are certain characteristics, I'm going to call them marks, that identify the New Testament church from everything else out there. Now, brethren, when we stray away from these characteristics, when we stray away from these identifying marks, then we lose our identity. We are who we are what we are because of the characteristics that identify us. But if we lose the characteristics, we lose our identity. And so what happens, and it's happened all over the place, what happens is that once where there used to be a thriving New Testament church who stood for God, they lost their identity, and what happened to them is that now they become nothing more than a civic club with religious overtones hanging on it. So what are these marks? What is it that identifies us? What is it that distinguishes us from everybody else in the world? Again, let me give you three, but quickly. Number one is doctrinal soundness. Now I'm going to say this and not stutter. The foremost challenge in absolutely every generation of the local New Testament church is to remain faithful to the doctrinal content of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not about it, that's it. The foremost challenge we have is to remain faithful to the doctrinal content of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, we are the church of Christ. And we can get up on the rooftop and shout it. We are the church of Christ. But brethren, we are the church of Christ because of what we believe, and because how we live is based on the authority of the Word of God, and it's not based on anything else on this planet. Is that clear? Doctrinal soundness. A second identifying mark of us, brethren, listen to me, is holy living. Holy living. Now, here's what I mean. Just as our teaching is distinctive, our lifestyles have to be distinctive as well. 2 Corinthians 6, come ye out from among them and be ye holy, saith the Lord, and be separated, saith the Lord. Listen to me. When you leave here, listen to me. When you leave here, behave yourself. Don't leave here and act like you've never been here. And don't leave here and live like you never heard of Jesus. Behave. Live so that folks will know, look, something's different about her. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And you keep living it, they'll figure the something out. Identifying marks. Doctrinal soundness. We will stand and rise on the book. Holy living. We're going to behave. Live like you ought to live. And the third identifying mark is outreach. Outreach. Listen, the church is the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. Well, what does that mean? We are an extension of who Jesus was and what Jesus was about. Well, what was he about? Luke 19:10, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's outreach. I must live with an awareness of the people around me to whom I have influence. And they may not ever change, but they need to have an example and an influence they can always look at. Why did Jesus establish a church? What are the identifying marks? What is it that distinguishes us? Question number three. And this is the crux of this lesson. What role do I fulfill in this congregation? What role do I fulfill? Now, again, let me give you three thoughts here. Number one, everybody who's a member here, and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me. Everybody who is a member here ought to see themselves as a vital part of this congregation. Now, I'm going to say this. Everybody from Odell Morgan sitting right here in the front to that sister sitting back there in the last pew to that brother back there in the back to this sister sitting right up here in front and everybody in the side room, and everybody in between. You hear this well. If you are a member here, if you are a part of this, if you are a part of the people here, don't you ever make reference to this place as they. Don't you ever make reference to this place and the people here as them. Bless God, it's not them, it's us. It's us. And it's not they, it's we. And the church is the only institution in all the world. And the local New Testament church is the only place in all of the world where absolutely everybody matters. Let me show you that. Let me show you this. Paul's writings. Paul wrote almost half the New Testament. Paul's writings. And over again, Paul uses the same analogy to describe the church. He says the church is like a body. The church is like a physical body. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Colossians 1, Ephesians 1. Paul uses that analogy over and over again. Listen, I get it. I get it. Because in the physical body, whatever member you have in your physical body that doesn't function as it should, it affects the whole body. Look, if you have a bad knee, is it just the knee, or is everything you do messed up with that? If you got a bad hip, is it just the hip, or is it every move you make? If you have a bad shoulder, is it just the shoulder, or is it everything you reach to pick up? If you have a bad back, like 1979, I was cutting the yard and just fell. Just down. And I couldn't get up. They finally got me up. They determined that I herniated a disc in my lumbar, in my lower back. Listen, there's a lesson there. No preacher should be cutting the yard. I'm preacher, I ain't landscaping here. My wife, she didn't buy that either. Yeah. Listen, when your back hurts, you can't sit, you can't stand, you can't lay, you can't do anything. Now listen, the analogy is the church. The church is like the body. And when there are members of the church who don't understand that they are a vital part of it. Listen, you're a knee or you're a hip or you're a disc or you're a shoulder, whatever it is. Listen, whatever it is it matters. You need to see yourself as a vital part of the church. Don't talk about us as being them. We ain't them, we usin. And it ain't proper English, but everybody here understood it. Bless God. Right? See yourself. What is my role? Here is your role. You matter. You matter. Number two, here's your role. You have to be present and participate in the worship service. Amen. You got to get up and tell adults this. Look, is it too much to ask that Christians be loyal to the institution for which Christ died? Number three, your role in this body, your niche, is to understand your importance. Your niche is to understand your importance. Your niche is to find that spot. Secondly, be present and participate in the worship. When we sing, sing. So I can't sing, so join in with the rest of us who can't sing.
And number three is this. Number three is this. You have to love your brothers and sisters. Love your brothers and sisters. Now look, I know they're irritating. Now, I'm never irritating, but I know they're irritating. Listen to me now. Here's what you have to understand, and I'm talking to every single person in here. Here's what you have to understand about everybody else who's in here. Everybody else who's in here is exactly like you. Now, how so? Here's how so. Everybody in here is a human being. Everybody in here makes mistakes. Everybody in here has good days and bad days. And most everybody in here, we're doing the best we can do. Love your brothers and your sisters. Three questions. Why did Jesus establish the church? So that you and I would have a place where we could come and in our bond of faith be able to share our ups and downs in lives with each other. Why did he establish the church? For worship. We praise his name for who and what he is, and as we do it as he's directed, he strengthens the inner man within us. And for good works. We have those marks that identify, that distinguish us. We will stand and fall on the word of God. Now here's what I hear Christians say all the time. I'm done. This is what I hear Christians say all the time. They say, well, I'd lay down my life for the church. Now I'm going to tell you something better than that. I'll give you something better than that. You will lay down your life for the church. So how about this? Until that moment comes, why don't you live your life for the church? Now when it comes time to die, and I rather suspect if authorities come up here and lined us against the wall and said deny Jesus or die, it'd thin the crowd out some. Amen. Listen, until you're called upon to die for the church, let's live our lives for it. Let's live our lives for it. There's great people in this room, you know that? There's great people in this room. There's as good a people in this room as you're going to find anywhere. We are the church of Christ. Because of what we believe and because of how we live. May God always let it be so. This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, you can become a New Testament Christian. And if you do that, the Lord himself will add you to the church. Come to him, change your lifestyle, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, be baptized for remission of your sins. If you've lost your way, you need to come back. And let me say this about coming back. Everybody in the world that matters wants you to come back. If you need to do that, do it right now as together we stand.